form of warfare is worship, right? The highest form of warfare is worship. And we'll start to unpack that as we work through this morning's service. We're going to start off with a set of songs, though, that's going to draw our hearts together, and it's going to bring our focus to a pinpoint. We've got everything stripped down, as you can see. You know, the band has the day off. We're making things as minimalistic and simplistic as we can in order to focus our energies well. Okay, so that's the key word for the morning. All right, focus. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm focused." All right. Yeah, you need to be focused. All right. Today we want to see that warfare is worship. Why is the highest form of warfare worship? Because the enemy, the enemy cannot touch it. That there is no defense against it, right? He can bring nothing against it. B, the more that we declare our God's greatness, and the more that we live in the realms of the truth about who he is in his being, and the more that we, his people, speak that to him and even allow him to lead us in worshiping him, the more that we see God's name explode in our own hearts and lives. And you all know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to connect with God in worship. You know what it's like to have that heart feel. And that's what warfare is. It's this connection, right? And when you connect with God, when you are intimate with him, when you are close with him, when there is that feel of relationship, when we're able to enter into his presence and to lift him up, and I mean, this is so biblical in everything that we say, when we have bold access to God's presence, right? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. This all speaks of the presence of God. And today we come together as God's people in God's house on God's day, and today we focus. And today we talk about warfare, and we talk about warfare in terms of worship. Worship is the highest form of warfare. So let's enter in together. I'm going to start us off by praying, and then there's going to be a time of just contemplation. There's going to be some quiet music. And take that time to continue to pray in your own hearts, to focus your own mind. Ask God to take away distraction. Ask him to bring peace. Ask him to bring focus of your heart. And together, we'll enter into this. All right? Everybody get it? All right, let's pray. God, thanks for today. And thanks that we can be here. Lord, I pray that as your people in your house on your day, God, that we are drawn deeply into you today, deeply into your presence. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we pray these things corporately because we desire for your Spirit to be here and to move and to teach us. We know that the Spirit guides us into all truth, that the things that we know about you are because he has illumined our hearts. And so we stand in that, Lord, and we want to know more. We want to know you more. We want to know deeply what it means to be the people of God, people who worship you with hearts, people who worship you in spirit and truth. So we come to you now in quietness, and we ask you to focus us. All right. Before we continue with the rest of our service, I'm going to take a small time out here and just talk about some community stuff that's going on, some things that are happening in our family. Take some time and pray about a couple of things. The first one is this. Yvonne Torres went back in the hospital this past week, actually the week before that. She's been in. The surgeon reanalyzed. Those of you who don't know Yvonne was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in January, had most of her pancreas and her spleen removed then, and has since that time just had one complication after another, a lot of infections, a lot of issues with the wound site, the organs. It's just, it's a major thing, obviously. But she had to go back in this past week. There was an infection around the pancreas. The doctors had to do a surgery that took the infection out, but also some kind of an exploratory thing so they could look around. Surgery was very serious. Yvonne's in ICU at Hershey right now, and could just really use our prayers. She is very weak, very frail. She can't talk right now. She has a breathing tube in. So I just want to take some time and pray for Yvonne first. Then we have some more stuff to pray about. So let's do that together. All right. Just before I start praying out loud, just take some time to pray for Yvonne in the quietness of your own heart. God, we come to you now on behalf of our sister who's hurting. And God, this is somebody who's dear to us and who is dear to you. And Lord, she is mighty in your kingdom as a prayer warrior, as an intercessor. Lord, she stands with a lot of authority spiritually. And God, we know that is a calling that you placed on her life. Lord, and the amount of war that she does in heavenly realms is just is so great. Lord, the way that she intercedes for this city, for her friends and family, Lord, for people in the churches in Lebanon, for our country. Lord, just all these things. She stands in the gap in so many ways. And God, she's so valuable to your kingdom. And God, it hurts us to see a member of our body hurt. And so we want to pray for her and stand with her. Lord, we pray for we pray for healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for healing in her body in the name of Christ, Lord. And I pray that you touch her, Lord, and that you restore her brokenness physically. Lord, I pray that this surgery would be a finality. Lord, we agree in that together, that this is all, that there would be healing at this point, that there would be no need for further complications or any kind of issues or procedures. Lord, I pray that you put a protection around her heart as well, Lord. In times of weakness, the enemy speaks so many deceptive words of discouragement and despair, hopelessness and loss and all these things. God, I pray that you protect her from those. God, I pray that your angels would be with her there in the ICU, Lord, that you would comfort her heart and that she would know your presence so strongly. God, may she know her presence right now where she is. May she know that this community loves her and cares for her and that we are lifting her up together. God, we thank you for her, and we continue to lift her up and to ask you to take care of her. She's yours. She's your daughter. Lord, we pray for your will above all things, and we stand together as a community, Lord, and just seek you and cry out to you that you deliver her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Another cancer issue. A lot of you know Karen Emenheiser, friends of Cornerstone down at Calvary Chapel in Lebanon. Karen was diagnosed with a brain tumor. The doctors went in to do a procedure. It was cancerous. They were not able to get it all because of the severity of the tumor itself. So we want to take some time and pray for Karen and to lift her up as well. So we'll do the same thing. Intercede for Karen in your own heart now, and then I'll lead us together. God, we pray for our sister Karen, Lord, we lift her up to you. And God, when we hear the words cancer, as humans, we just get filled with fear and worry. And there's so many. It's one of those things that none of us ever wants to hear those words. And Karen has heard them in an extremely brutal way, and in such a change of life and of expectation and of hope and all of these things. God, cancer to you is not a word of fear. Cancer to you is not anything that is out of the realm of your power, Lord. The cancer is not bigger than you. We pray for our sister, Lord. We pray for Karen, God, and we pray for healing in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray that you touch that tumor in her brain, Lord, and that you dissolve it. Lord, I pray that you send it away. Lord, we pray together in agreement, Lord, as a community, and in this community there is power because your presence is here and your spirit is here. God, and we ask that this cancer will not be something that shortens her life, but that she could live a long, full life. Lord, we pray that whatever prognosis the doctors give, Lord, that you look at that and laugh because you know the plans that you have for Karen, and you know that you're not done with her and that she has much more to do for you. Lord, and we stand in faith together in that. Lord, and we look to see your goodness for Karen in the land of the living, just like David said. not the goodness of God then in the future, but right now, that the full goodness of you would be extended to her heart. And in the midst of her questions, in the midst of this brutality of news and of hope and you know, wondering what's going on, God, I pray you comfort her heart, Lord, that you hold her closely, and that that she would know that you are her rock, that you are her refuge, and in you she can trust. And so we give her into your hands, Lord, knowing that you are God and you make no mistakes, and you do what is best. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yvonne had surgery on Thursday morning. She was in the recovery room for over 24 hours. So I'm not going to tell you how serious the surgery was. So I went down there on Friday afternoon to see her, but she wasn't out of recovery yet. I was walking out of Hershey Med Center, and Justin and Naomi Boyer were walking in, and they live in Seattle, you know, so I'm like, what the heck is this? What's going on here? And, I could tell something was up. Justin didn't look right. As it turns out, Justin's mom had a heart attack and a brain aneurysm at the same time. She is also in ICU at Hershey Med Center and is on full life support systems. Justin and Naomi are actually with us today, so they joined us today for worship. So I'm going to ask the Boyers to join me up here. I'm going to ask the elders to come down too. And we're going to pray for Justin and Naomi and for his family. Is there anything you want to add to that? Let me get you a mic.
I can speak loud enough.
Yeah, okay, cool.
We're just praying for miraculous healing for my mom. Naomi and I aren't sure if she really knows the love of Christ. So we're really praying for that. And we're just praying for the kingdom of God to come and just break through in our hearts and in my parents' hearts and just draw us together as a family under one king. So appreciate prayers and everything. Her name is Ellie, by the way.
All right. All right, cool. All right, Ben, do you want to pray? And then I'll follow you.
Jesus, we just come to you this morning once again, Lord, on behalf of this family, Father, on behalf of this mother and this son. Jesus, we just accept all your power in here, mm-hmm. Father. We accept your power of healing in our lives and the lives of Mrs. Boyer, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, your kingdom has no end. Your mercies and your grace have no end. Mm-hmm. And Father, we pray for those mercies and those grace upon the Boyer family, Lord. Father, we ask that you would raise up in her heart, Father, your love and your desire to know you, mm-hmm. Lord, your desire to follow you, your desire to seek. Father, we pray you raise it up in her, Father, and that you would transform her, Lord, both physically and mentally, Lord. Yeah. And Lord, we trust that you will come and deliver, Father, as you have so many times before. So, Father, we thank you for your presence in the life of this family. Lord, we ask that your mercies be unleashed, Father. Hmm. And we thank you for your power.
Yes, God, we join together and we ask for the Boyer family. Lord, we pray for their family as they wait and watch and just hope. What the world would say is hope beyond hope. But to you is not hope beyond hope, Lord, because we hope in the resurrection of Christ. We hope in the impossible. Dead men don't come back to life, but you did. And in doing so, you conquered sin, and you conquered the grave, and you conquered death. And so while death may be what we think we're looking at here, that is never beyond you. And so, God, I pray for your life. Lord, I pray for your life in Ellie Boyer. Lord, I pray that you redeem this situation, Lord, in that I pray that I do pray for a miracle. Lord, I pray for a miraculous healing to awake her soul, Lord, and to awake her body. So if for nothing else, if to hear more about Jesus and to recognize that you are Lord and there is no other, Lord, and to be able to join with her family in that, God, what I pray for Justin and I pray for his family members, Lord, as they stand in anticipation and in anxiety, and all the worries that come with this. Oh, God, guard their hearts. Guard their hearts, Lord. May they not despair, but may they hope in God. And in the same, again, with David, hope to see your goodness in the land of the living. Lord, and that's what we look for. So fill them with the knowledge of your goodness, even in the midst of the darkest of times. And we stand with them, and we stand in faith to see the goodness of God here. And Lord, we look to see great things from you. Again, you are a God who makes no mistakes. And you are complete, you are solid, and we rest in you. We put our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever think that all that's just like a little crazy? You know, like a bunch of people get together and actually believe that there's something more powerful than death. A bunch of people get together and actually believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and because of that, we have life and life abundant. And we pray for hope that is beyond hope, but it's not. Because of what we have in Christ. I mean, this is the God that we serve. This is the one who called us. This is the word spoken into our hearts and into our lives. What other response is there than worship, right? What else could we do? What other options are there for us other than worship? Yeah, we're in a war. We're in a spiritual battle, there's no doubt. What we can never forget is that the victory has already been decided, right? All right, let me say that again. The victory has already been decided, right? The battle has been won. Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered sin and death. And 1 Corinthians 15 says that we give thanks to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he says, and I only know this in Old King James. So, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Did you hear that? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's a bottom line when it comes down to it. We work for a lot of things that are vain, right? Dennis and I didn't collaborate, by the way, about today's stuff. I had no idea what he was going to talk about. He didn't know what I was going to talk about. But there are a lot of other things that we work at other than the work of the Lord. There are a lot of things that we work at that its work is very vain. One of the major things is something that Dennis talked about. This is something I wanted to camp out on too. Take it a little bit deeper. Which is this concept of busyness and distraction. If there is one thing that keeps Christians from worshiping Jesus, it's busyness and distraction. Why is it that Jesus is the first thing to go when things get busy? You know? Did you ever question that? Now, I used to always, as a youth pastor, I get so frustrated sometimes. I had these great kids who were coming, especially in the summer, you know, because there was no school in the summer. And the summer was just a great time to be a youth pastor because kids are out of school. You can hang out with kids during the day. You know, you can go visit them at work and get free stuff, which is nice. as a youth pastor, you know, you get paid to go to summer camp, you know, and take kids overseas and stuff. I mean, there was nothing like summer. And I would watch kids take these summer times and just grow. And then, boom, the middle of August would hit. And you know what happened in the middle of August? Soccer camp, football camp, band camp, right? And then came school. And youth group. Youth group would always be like booming during the week, you know? And then hit school and watch, you know, watch Thursday nights go from like 90 kids down to 50. Why? I have band. Oh, okay. All right. But where's priority in there? This can happen. This isn't just true of youth ministry. I mean, life only gets busier, right? I mean, any one of us in here with a family and kids and that kind of stuff. I mean, it just gets busy, right? Job, or we are busy people. Yeah, I think that when we talk together about being busy, like, what do we do that for? You know what I mean? And again, why is Jesus the first thing to go? If we have a busy week, why does small group get cut? Because our week got busy. I mean, we make time for other things. We get busy and the Sunday morning suddenly up for grabs. We get busy and suddenly work becomes the emphasis and relationship with the community does not. And we're not having people over to our house for dinner. We're busy. And oftentimes we're busy because we're trying to define ourselves by things. Folks, here's another point of truth. I think that we love being busy. Oh, we all complain about it, but we're just full of crap. We love it. We love being busy. We love standing there, I think, and knowing that we have significance to something, right? If we're busy, that means we're important. If we're busy, that means that we got things going on. Folks, Jesus was never busy. Jesus was, you read the gospel, Jesus was never hurried, right? He was never pushed by anything other than God's kingdom agenda. And anything else that fought against that, you know, he made decisions. He made decisions, just like we all do. Why did he go to Capernaum? Well, that's where God wanted him to go. He could have gone to Samaria, but he chose to go to Capernaum. How did he know to go to Capernaum? You read it time and time again. What did Jesus do? He went up to the mountain to pray. He went up to the mountain to focus. Jesus' life was focused. It was focused on one thing. It was focused on the kingdom of God coming to earth. Why do we stay busy? Because we're terrified of not being busy. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John 4, that was smart. 1 John 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God is love. All who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so that we will not be afraid on a day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence, because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment. And this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. Perfect love. Perfect love. That's what we are seeking to be defined by. That's what Christians need to be looking to be defined by, is perfect love, not by busyness, not by our schedules. And I've gotten to the point where it's just hard for me to buy busyness as a good excuse. We're all busy. The world is run by busy people. You know, everybody's busy. Busy, busy, busy. But we make choices. There's no reason why our jobs have to control us. There's no reason why our kids' schedules have to control us. There's no reason why family has to control us. There's no reason why any of these external factors have to control us. It's important for us to choose good priorities. Yeah, it's important for us to be good workers. It's important for us to be good family people. It's important for us to understand what's going on and all those things. But that all comes under one thing. And that is God's plan for us. That's God's plan. I mean, does God want you working 65 hours a week? Did he tell you that? You know, I mean, was this like, if so, go for it. You know, if God said, if that's God's word to you, well, work like a madman. You know, heck, work like a madman. You know, go for it. But I wonder, you know, I wonder, what is it that we're working for then? You know, are we working for a standard of living at that point? Or are we working for ourselves? But I'm really getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get ahead of myself yet. Let's talk about external factors before we talk about internal factors. Folks, life is too rough and throws too many curveballs at us for us to be distracted by busyness. You know what I mean? I mean, the situation we just prayed about. You know, where does the ability to walk through that kind of a situation come from? You know, where does that comes from connection with Jesus. The only way you walk through cancer, the only way that you walk through a mom on her deathbed, the only way you walk through hard situations, the only way that I walk through my situations with my kids and their disease, it is from connection to Jesus. Busyness keeps me from being connected to Jesus. Busyness will keep us all from being connected to Jesus. But we're afraid to disconnect from the busyness because it's so often true that the busyness is what has defined us. And if we just stop and look Jesus in the face, then we'll see something that we're not sure, A, we know, or B, that we really want. But this is the only way to walk through these things. And suffering happens. A lot of people in this world live trying to avoid suffering, thus the busyness. In fact, even in the midst of suffering, it's more easy to stay busy a lot of times than it is to just stop and look ourselves and look Jesus in the face and say, what the heck is going on here? You know, I need some comfort, I need some answers, I need some help. What does that all take? That all takes quiet, that all takes silence, that all takes withdrawal. That all takes getting away with the word, with Jesus, talking, listening, time, definitely. But how else are you going to go through those things? And I think that's why so many people get wrecked when it comes to suffering. That suffering in their lives does not become a tool by which God shapes them, but rather it's something that they live in, listen, that they live in fear of. And so a lot of us and a lot of people in this room are running from suffering as fast as we can. I think that when it comes to suffering, we have two choices. A, we can ignore it and waste our pain because suffering will happen. Okay, everybody in here, suffering will come. Okay, you will go through difficult circumstances if you're not there now or have gone through them and are dealing with the scars of them. So you can ignore suffering and thus waste your pain. Or you can embrace suffering and redeem your pain because that's what Jesus does, right? Is there anything more scandalous than the Son of God hanging naked and bloody on two pieces of wood and dying as a criminal? Scandalous. That is so far gone. This perfectly innocent, loving man, crucified. What does Jesus do? Jesus embraces his cross. And what does Jesus find? Jesus finds life, right? Yeah, he has to die, but he finds resurrection. And God offers us the same things. Folks, this stuff is going to happen. And when it happens, what is it that gets us through? That's what I want to talk about for a little bit because this is so key. Perfect love, when we think about it and when we talk about suffering and issues that we're having, perfect love is what gets us through. God's love for us. Look who's the initiator, right? Look at verse 9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Jesus is the initiator in this. Right? Jesus is the initiator. What John gets down to is that perfect love is what Jesus showed for us on the cross. I think that's the bottom line. When Jesus died for us, he showed his perfect love. Why? Because he looked fear in the face and he chose against it. And he embraced the cross and he embraced the suffering and he went there despite the pain and despite the fear. And what did he find? He found life. And I think that that's what Jesus calls us to. How do we live in that? I think we live in that through worship. Friends, when you are suffering, when you go through the wreckage that your life gives you, it's impossible for me to overstate how important it is for you to worship at that point, for you to get alone with God, to pray, to sing, to write, to draw, to paint, to do whatever it is that you do for worship. But it is in that place that we restore focus. Why? Because it is in worship that authority is reestablished. When we worship, we put God where he belongs. When we worship, we look our problems and our suffering and our issues in the face, and we say, those are big and they affect me, but they are not going to define me. And we step into a higher plane, right? We step into a higher plane where God is and where God's goodness reigns and where God's life reigns. And that's what worship does. Worship draws us from this wreckage of life into the beauty of Christ. And as we extend ourselves into worship and as we live there, particularly in the midst of our suffering and hurt, we see perfect love show up in ways that we've never seen before, and we see fear begin to go away. I experience fear the most when it comes to my kids. I have two kids with cystic fibrosis, and worrying about them and the fear of that and dealing with their hospital stays and all those things, it's too much. I was in St. Louis Children's Hospital. We were on one of our longer hospital stays with Christy, and I was really depressed when it came down. I was super depressed. There was this lady in our church, her name was Vicky, and Vicky had a severely handicapped son. His name was Levi. Levi has since gone to heaven since then. But Levi was severely handicapped. They used to wheel him into church. They would feed him, and it was sort of one of these situations the people were almost kind of shied away from because it was this poor kid, you know, and Vicky just poured her heart out to him in so many deep ways. She came to the hospital late one night. Like, I don't even know how she got in because they didn't let people in. You know, she came to the hospital late one night and just said, hey, you know, God wanted me to come and talk to you about these things. She said, you know, my life never makes sense to me. She said, when I deal with Levi, when I deal with the problems, and they had issues with their marriage at the time and things were hurting there, she said, when I deal with all of these problems that come to me, she said, these things, they overwhelm me and they destroy me if I let them. She said, I want to be overwhelmed, but not by my problems. I want to be overwhelmed by Jesus. Because he is the only thing that makes sense. He's the only thing that makes sense in my world. And that's so true. We're going to take a little bit of time. And this is what I do when I go through hard times, what we're about to do right now. Because I don't know what else to do except to resign myself to the fact that in worship I am strong. Because in worship, I put God where he belongs. I lift him up high and mighty and exalted. And my circumstances aren't allowed to define him. So we're gonna worship in the midst of our sufferings. We're going to worship. We're going to choose God in the midst of our pain. Folks, running from pain is never going to work. Embrace your pain and watch God redeem it as you deal with it rightly. So, Travis, come on up. Let's stand together, I think. God, help us to stand on the rock that you are. Lord, you are unmovable. You are unshakable. God, I pray that our circumstances would not allow for us to redefine you because of them, but rather we define them because of you. And in you we rest. And in you we stand. And when nothing else makes sense, we just fall back on you. We rest in your arms. We rest in your grace and your mercy. And we don't know why this stuff happens. We'd sure love to know why this stuff happens. But we do know that in all things you are good. And in all things we can stand and we can praise. Because nothing changes you. You walk with us. And you carry us and you are God. And on that we rest. In Christ's name. Amen. You can have a seat. That's what worship can do for you when you allow it to invade your circumstances and even the hardest stuff you've ever gone through. I think the reason, I'm going to get right to my point here. I think the reason why we stay busy is because we're terrified not to be busy. I think we're afraid of what that's going to mean. I think that we're on some levels maybe afraid of God's call on our lives. I think that on some levels that the enemy speaks to us, that who are we to be used, right? I mean, who are we to be world changers? Who are we to be revolutionaries? Who are we to do incredible, magnificent things for the kingdom of God? And it's so much easier to buy into a ridiculous work week. It's so much easier to buy into running the kids all over creation. It's so much easier to buy into letting our hobbies take over. It's so much easier for us to fall into allowing relationships that are not life-giving to become idols in our lives. It's so much easier for all these things to happen because I think we're terrified for them not to happen because that means then Jesus will be really defining us. And we know how he was defined. Right? I mean, he died. And so to release, man, it's tough. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as what? As living sacrifices. Again, in 1 John 4. So funny. I have this marker here. I keep turning to it. Such love, in verse 18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of judgment. And this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. You see, when we really love God, when we really love him, when we really allow his love to permeate our hearts and to strike us deep where we live, and we allowed that love to saturate us and to pour over us and to change us the way that it was made to change, that means that Jesus brings a whole new thing. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that God makes all things new, that we're new creations, that we live now according to a new agenda, that we now live according to a new path. What Jesus calls us to is such a higher plane of living than busyness. Do you hear that? By being busy and allowing that busyness to take God out of our lives, and by that I mean time alone with him, I mean, if your schedule is void of time with Jesus, of time in the Word, of time in prayer with him, if your schedule is void of that, you're too busy, and something has to go. And it might be something huge. You might have to switch careers. It might be that big in order to really be who God is calling you to be. You might have to give up some things that you think you really like. But you don't really like them. You just use them to escape. Right? You just use them to get away. You know, it's for me a long time, my escape was sports, you know, and I did the sports thing. I played every season that there was a sport to be played. And you know, I was okay at the sports. I did all right. And I enjoyed them. I loved them. It was an escape for me. What did it become? What did it become? It became a major distraction. Is there anything wrong with sports? No, not in balance. But the last thing that I was intimate with Jesus. Right? The last thing that I was a friend of God because I had never sacrificed anything. I think that's what perfect love calls for. Right? Isn't that what Jesus did? Perfect love sacrificed. How do we know perfect love? We know it because God initiated the concept. God sent Jesus to do what? To die. To die. And what did Jesus get raised to? To new life. Right? To full authority. That's what Jesus was raised to. What does God call us to? He calls us to die to ourselves. He calls us to die to our desires, to die to the things that want to rob us of a relationship with him. Why? Not in order to be miserable. This book isn't about do's and don'ts. This book is about relationship with Jesus. And whatever it is that you're dying to based on a call of God in your life, I guarantee you what you're stepping into, it's so much better. It's so much better. The only life worth living is a life lived all out for Christ and allowing him to say whatever needs to go, goes. And if that means something that I really love right now, that's because you're bringing something better for me to love better. And the beautiful thing about that is for a lot of us, that's going to mean our families. That we get to love our families better because we die to some things that keep us distracted. That's going to mean that we get to love Jesus better because we're suddenly connected to the community and we're like investing in it, you know? We don't just come here and consume. We don't just go to small groups and consume. But we actually connect. Like, we think about stuff during the week, you know, like crazy concepts. We have people over. We build relationships. The community speaks to us. We speak to the community. It begins to define and to be defined. I mean, this is all really good stuff. This is going to cause for sacrifice. Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to tell you it's not. I am telling you, though, it's going to be better. It'll be better. Perfect love is based in sacrifice. What is a husband called to do for his wife? To love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Yeah, it's woven really far into the scriptures, this concept of sacrifice, but so is the concept of resurrection and of new life. And what we die to based on God's call is so much better for what he has for us. But that's scary. That's scary. Why? Because we lose control. That's a lot of times what it comes down to for a lot of us, is that we lose control then. And suddenly, we're not calling the shots anymore. You know, he's calling the shots. And especially if we start to cut things out of our lives and begin to replace it with time with him, God's voice starts to show up a lot clearer through the scriptures. God's voice starts to show up a lot clearer through the community. God's voice starts to show up a lot clearer in our hearts. Right? And God's voice can't be ignored. You know, God doesn't just like speak and then go away. You know, what he calls you to, we use busyness to anesthetize that voice. We use the noise of our lives to drown out God's voice saying, will you please stop and just be with me? Will you please just come and know what it is to love and to be loved by me? You know, when it comes to programs here at Cornerstone, we purposely keep things really simplistic. I mean, if you compare a list of programs that Cornerstone has to a list that a lot of other churches have, we don't want to be that. We have Sunday mornings. We have small groups. We help our kids learn about Jesus. And we try and build community here in Lebanon through unity gatherings and weekends and prayer and that kind of stuff. We're not trying. We don't want you here all week long. Away from your neighbors, away from your families. But we want you there understanding what life really is, which is such a problem, I think, for us. And for us, I mean this community. I'm talking local church, Cornerstone. Okay. Does Jesus invade your life? Does he invade your schedule in ways that are intrusive? You know, in ways that he does come in there and start poking around and say, this is dumb. Why are you doing this? What about me? What about your wife? What about your husband? What about your kids? What about the key relationships that you have? You know, what about your neighbors? What about the people you work with? You know, they need perfect love. They need to know me. Don't be distracted by these things. When Jesus calls us to sacrifice, he calls us to life. You hear that? When Jesus calls us to sacrifice, he calls us to life. And in laying down ourselves and in laying down our busyness and in laying down our distractions and in laying down the things that want to rob us from him and rob us from community, we find life. And I think that's what it means to worship. Because Romans 12 goes on to say that we are to present our bodies as living and sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is a part of worship. We sing, we raise our hands, we clap. That's part of worship. That's a very small part of worship. Worship really shows up with how we live our lives 24/7, how we start our day, how we act at work, how we treat our boss, how we treat our coworkers, when we come home, what we come home like in our attitudes, what we do when we come home, what takes up that time, how we interact with the community, the commitment here, because the life of Christ is here and the body of Christ is here and transformation happens through local churches and transformation is not going to happen if you're not connected. You know, I mean, all these kinds of things. Yeah, this is worship. This is worship, these daily decisions, these basic things. And so what is Jesus calling you to? Maybe he's calling you to something small, you know, in on the relative scheme of things. Maybe he's calling to you for an hour a day. Dennis doesn't know that's what's coming. You know, of just quiet, of time, you know, of a word, of scripture, of doing however it is you connect with Jesus, walking in the woods and talking out loud, painting, drawing, making music, whatever your connection, your gifts, intercession. I mean, an hour? We have an hour. Maybe we don't need to sleep as much. Maybe we don't need to watch TV. Maybe we don't need to be on the internet, you know, for as long. Again, these things are not inherently evil, but they become evil when they take over priorities in our lives. So what is Jesus calling you to? Maybe it's something small like that. Maybe it's something huge. Maybe Jesus is saying, look, your cost of living is ridiculous. You don't need to live like this. Make some sacrifices. Maybe he's saying, this career is nothing I ever had for you. What about when you were 22 and I spoke to your heart about what it would mean for you to serve me like all the time and you bailed on that in order to pursue something else? Maybe it's time to return to that. Maybe it's a huge sacrifice like that. Maybe Jesus is calling you to something really big. Whatever it is, folks, hear this. In sacrifice, there is life. In sacrifice, there is life. And whatever Jesus is calling you to is better than what you're at now. Because that's what it means to serve a good God. Jesus said, what father, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a snake? You know, and God doesn't do that either. When God calls us to something, it's to something great and to something grand and to something beautiful. And there's more fulfillment, peace, hope, and joy in that than you will ever find in being busy and in doing your church thing on Sundays. But it does require sacrifice. But in sacrifice, there is life. And that's why we're going to end with this song. Let's all stand up. All right, this is an echo song. All right, some of you, if you don't know the words aren't going to be on the screen because it's relatively familiar to us and it's ludicrously easy. But there's some images we want you to focus on while we are singing. This is a song, I Lay Me Down. Okay, if you don't know the words, just follow me, follow the crowd with the core, with the echo. And I'll lead you with my voice, too, throughout the song. But let's not forget what it is that perfect love really is, which is what we're going to focus on as we end. God, I pray that you free us from the distractions, the busyness, the craziness of the life that would steal us from our relationship with you. May we walk into sacrifice, embrace our suffering, see it redeemed on the cross, and watch you raise us to new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God.